Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Balkrishna Industries Limited Q4 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Asian Markets Securities Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. Actual results may differ from such expectations, projections, et cetera, whether expressed or implied. Participants are requested to exercise caution while referring to such statements and remarks. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in a listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note this conference call is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mayur Milak from Asian Markets Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, hi. On behalf of Asian Markets Securities, we welcome you all to the Q4 FY23 post call of Balkrishna Industries. I take this opportunity to welcome the senior management team of Balkrishna. We have with us Mr. Rajeev Poddar, Joint Managing Director, and other senior team members. I would now like to invite Mr. Rajeev Poddar for his opening remark and then followed by a Q&A session. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mayur. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. Along with me, I have Mr. Bajaj, Senior President, Commercial and CFO, Mr. Ravi Joshi, Deputy CFO, Mr. Sushil Mishra, Head Accounts, and SGA, our investor relation advisors. Let me begin with performance updates. Q4 financial year 2023 has been a better quarter from a sequential point of view. We witnessed uptick in volumes, better demand from our end markets, and partial clearing of our high-priced raw materials. However, end markets, especially channel inventory situation, is not completely out of the woods. We believe this channel inventory-led issues may be resolved by June or July. We were able to clock 72,676 metric ton in Q4 of financial year 2023, which is 9% Q-on-Q growth, and accordingly ended the year with 301,181 metric ton, a marginal growth of 4% over the financial year 2022. In Q4, the EBITDA margin is at 21.3%, which has improved sequentially. This has been on account of better absorption of high-cost raw material inventory that we were carrying in the system, along with lower freight costs. We have continued to make higher spends in brand building and marketing initiatives, which has slight impact in margins. Excluding these investments in the margins, we would have been slightly higher in Q4. In view of our long-term strategy of increasing market share, these investments are required to be made as we move ahead to achieve our aspiration of 10% market share over the next few years. As sales volume increases, these spends as a percentage of sales will come down. For financial year 2024, we remain positive. We believe that on volume performance, we would be in a better position to discuss in the next few months from now. On margin front, multiple levers such as favorable raw material cost, better hedge rates, complete normalization of logistic costs will aid the improvement in margin profile. In terms of end markets, we expect Europe to normalize later during the year, while Americas and India will continue its FY23 performance trajectory. Let me now update you on the CapEx. The advanced carbon black project of 30,000 metric ton per annum is running delayed, and we expect the same to be completed in H2. The CapEx for the brownfield capacity addition of 25,000 metric ton per annum at Waluj has been completed. Full ramp-up of production will reach over a period of 6 months. Now, the Waluj location is having a total capacity of 55,000 tons per annum. Further, at a complete at a company level, our achievable capacity stands back at the original 360,000 metric ton per annum. For the financial year 24, we estimate a capex spend of rupees 550 to 600 crores. Out of this, maintenance routine and capex will be 250 to 300 crores. The balance will be spent towards new product development like rubber tracks and giant solid tires. This will help us widen our product basket in the end markets along with higher investments in brand building and marketing efforts which are required to reach our market share goal of 10%. With this, I now move on to operational highlights. Our standalone revenue for the quarter stood at rupees 2,325 crore, a degrowth of 4% year-on-year, which includes realized gain of foreign exchange pertaining to the sales of rupees 7 crore. For financial year 23, the revenue stood at rupees 10,072 crore, which includes realized gain of foreign exchange pertaining to the sales of 262 crores. We have crossed the historical mark of rupees 10,000 crore sales for the first time in our history. For the financial year 23, 51% of sales came from Europe, 22% came from India, 18% from Americas, and balance from the rest of the world. In terms of channel contribution, 69% was contributed from the replacement segment, while OEM contributed to 28%, and the balance coming from offtake. In terms of category, agricultural segment contributed to 63%, while OTR, industrial and construction, contributed to 34%, and the balance came from other segments. The standalone EBITDA for the quarter was at rupees 494 crore with a margin of 21.3%. Financial year 23, EBITDA was recorded at 2028 crore, translating to a margin of 20.1% and a drop of 7% year-on-year basis. Other income for the quarter stood at 28 crore, while unrealized gain stood at rupees 3 crore. Other income for the financial year stood at 114 crore, while unrealized loss stood at 88 crore. Coming to the net forex items for the quarter, we had a net forex gain of 26 crore, which includes realized gain of 23 crore and unrealized gain of 3 crores. For financial year 23, we had net forex gain of 224 crore, which includes realized gain of 313 crore and unrealized loss of 88 crore. Profit after tax stood for the quarter at rupees 256 crore, while for the financial year it stood at 1079 crore. Our gross debt stood at 3,254 crore at the end of 31st March 23, out of which about 75% is relating to working capital debt. Our cash and cash equivalents are at 2,075 crore. For financial year 23, the euro hedge rate was at 86.50, while for financial year it was at 85.30. Forward hedge rates for financial year 24 currently stand at around 88 to 89 levels. The board of directors have declared a final dividend of rupees 4 per share, subject to the approval of shareholders in the AGM. This is in addition to the early interim dividends of rupees 12 per share paid over the 9 months of the last financial year. With this, I conclude my opening remarks and leave the floor open for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star 1 now. Take our first question from the line of Ashutosh Tiwari from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Firstly, on the destocking front, you mentioned that probably by June or July, destocking will get completed. So can you share some light, like what were the retail sales during the quarter versus the reported number of 22,700 odd?
That we cannot, we don't have, and we cannot share those details.
But is it like destocking had a large impact on volumes, or it was not very high impact in this quarter per se?
It's higher than our sales, as we've been saying that there is some clearing happening. We can share that details, but not that numbers.
Okay, and you mentioned that probably Europe will recover a bit later during 24, but America and India will continue to do well. But even America volumes have come off quite sharply in the second half versus the first half. So this weakness seems across even Europe and USA, at least in the second half, basically, of last year.
So it's a seasonal thing. Europe, in America, is the seasonal impact which is coming. We are quite confident that as of today, America should react, continue its growth trajectory. So we don't see any problem in that.
And lastly, what is the gross debt level?
Gross debt level, 1 minute. Around
1300.
3200. Around 3200.
Gross.
Around
3200.
Thank you. We take a next question from the line of Siddharth Behera from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, again, first question on the volume side. I mean, in the current quarter, we are already close to like 2 months. So, given the channel restocking which you are seeing, shall we start expecting some volume growth coming from Q1, or do you think it may take longer for volumes to come back?
As we have said in my opening speech, we see some clearance happening from June, July. So that is what we can say at this moment.
Okay. And in the quarter, sir, ASPs also have come down by about 4%. So can you just indicate, is this largely a freight pass-through or something else also is leading to lower ASPs? And should we expect more sort of correction going ahead, or this is largely behind for now?
So it's a mix of product mix and also the lower freight cost which is passing through.
Okay. So is this largely normal now, or should we expect some more correction to come in the coming quarter?
Some minor correction could come in.
Okay. Got it. And on the other expenses, and on the volume side, sorry, again, I mean, if you look at India volumes, they have grown quite well in this year. At 28%, if I see, and this quarter also the growth has been quite strong. Can you just indicate, I mean, what is driving this? Because industry has not been growing, and the tractor side and next year also the outlook is not very encouraging. So, some indications on what is driving this, and how is there any change in market share on the product side which you can indicate?
So it's a mix of everything. So product acceptability, product performance in the market space, as well as we are taking growing faster than the market, so we are taking market share as well. So I mean, also the branding that we are doing for the Indian market is having a brand creating a good brand recall, so all the benefits that we've been talking about are now playing out in the marketplace. So it's a mix of all these factors coming together.
And any particular segment which is coming through this, agri, OTR, or
both products all over in India, both the product lines are doing well.
Okay, so you expect some of this volume growth to continue even in the current year?
Yes, we expect it to continue, yes.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mumuksh Mandlesha from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, what is the expectation in terms of RM cost reduction for next quarter?
So it will be around 1 to 2%.
And sir, most of the lower input costs will be passed through. The benefit will come in Q1 itself.
Some benefit we may have to pass.
We basically, if you see for the whole year, what we mentioned is that we will see some improvement in the margins for the whole year. Could be in the range of 200 to 300 basis points, but that will be for the whole year, not in this quarter.
Got it. In India business, I just want to come back. Do you expect the double digit to continue for FY24, India volumes?
We can't comment on the future, what's going to happen. It looks, as we mentioned, is that we expect the growth trajectory to continue, but difficult to put a number to it.
Got it. And sir, just lastly, what would be the inventory level at distributor end now?
We don't have the number, but it is what we are seeing is that it is improving, so it is reducing.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Pramod Amte from Incred Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for this opportunity. First question is with regard to your interest costs. It seems to be going up pretty steeply. To our last quarter, 3Q was 15 crores. It has come to 25 crores. Can you give more color what is happening there?
It is because of the Euribor has gone up. So the whatever PCFC we are taking, that rate has gone up. So once it starts reacting, then only it will come down. Otherwise, it will stay in the same range.
So your rates are what now? 5%, 7% on that? What is the current rate?
It is around 4% approximately.
Okay. So if I have to look at, assuming your gross debt is almost around 3,000 crores plus. So as you said, 75% is there. So you are, is it peaking out or you still feel there is a room for it to go up in absolute number before it peaks out? And also second is, do you capitalize any of your interest costs for the capex and when that will come through P&L?
So as far as the number is of the gross debt, number wise it will come down in the months in this financial year. So we are working towards that.
And I was asking on the interest cost, sir, if it's specifically absolute wise, it's very difficult to project from a 15 crores to a 25 crores, right? So whether it will go from 25 to where or whether it will come down.
That is difficult to say where it will end up the actual number. No? But if the number comes down, the rates remaining same, it will come down. But if the LIBOR goes up, Unilever goes up, then it may stay at this level. But on a gross level, the debt will, you will see a reduction in that.
Let me put it the other way. Do you capitalize any of the capex related interest cost and how much it was for FY24? So 23.
Very small portion goes to capitalization, otherwise most of it goes to P&L.
Okay. And the last question is in terms of the end market pricing behavior, because raw material cost has been benign for all the players. Do you see the manufacturer passing it on to the end consumer? Is there any different this time to pass it on to the consumer, or it's again a fight for pricing?
So we will also, we are reviewing the situation very closely. If the need arises, we may also have to pass on some of that reduction. We are trying and seeing in the best interest of the market and how do we retain our market share. So we are reacting to that.
Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Ankit Kanodia from Smart Sync Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for taking my question. So my first question is related to the margin. So if we look at the quarterly numbers in the last year, so from as in from March 2022, it was 21%, and then Q on Q it kept on decreasing for reasons we know. And it has now come back to 21%. So, and when we are saying that Europe will probably come back later in the coming year, so is it right to assume that probably margin will see a good bump up in the second half and will continue to maintain similar kind of margin in the first half as well, as in this 21-22% margin?
So as I mentioned earlier during my one of the answers that we are seeing for the whole year, improvement in margins ranging from 200 to 300 basis points, and bulk of it will come towards the end of the year. So you are absolutely right. You should see some bump in the second half.
Thank you. So my next question is, as we know that the difference between the price at which we sell our tire compared to our European counterparts is decreasing over the years. So it was somewhere around 50% 15 years back. Now it is about 10 to 15%. So do we see any other players, new players coming in with that kind of a price differential with ours or maybe our competitors? Or our main competition continues to be the European and American counterparts?
One of the lowest factors.
We always, we are playing in the market which is basically quality driven, and we are competing against the quality players. So price is not our game, so we are not looking at that. We are looking at the top players who have a good and whose quality is at par with us. So we are competing. The range is also important, no?
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Nishit Jalan from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thank you. Two questions from my side. Number one, we do have a very high gross debt of about 3,200 crores, but at the same time, we have 2,000 crores cash also. That's something we have maintained in the past also, but now the debt levels have gone up and cash has also gone up. So any thoughts around that, whether you want to use some of the cash to pay off debt? That is one. Second question is, just wanted to understand what is the working raw material policy of the company. Typically, what kind of inventory do you carry for rubber and crude derivatives? I'm asking because this time around we have seen a very significant lag in terms of realizing the actual benefit of RM cost. I think more is yet to come. It's already been 2-3 quarters. So did we had a very, very highly disproportionate inventory compared to what you typically keep? More color on this would be helpful. Thank you.
So on the raw material, typically we would keep between 45 and 60 days of stock, but yes, we the lag was longer than expected because all of a sudden the market saw a correction. So we were planning at higher levels, and if you saw the numbers in the last 2 quarters, they have dipped significantly from the first, you know, Q2 and Q1. So that had an impact on this. Also, the lead times were long, and all of a sudden the shipping times got cut. So we had to plan for both of them. And that's why the lead time, you know, what was being ordered for future came in a little earlier. So that's why we had a longer lag.
Okay. On the debt side?
No, we're not looking to use the cash for repaying, but for expansion purposes, we will be looking at that.
But Mr. Poddar, your net debt levels will still come down, right? You will generate enough cash flow to internally meet your capex requirements. So if your net debt is coming down, then why not think about using those cash and paying off the debt and not take the currency risk or anything of that sort?
No, so we are. It's a continuous process which we will be reducing, and we don't want to, I mean, we don't envisage using this. We want to keep this as a, you know, in case of any opportunity that arises or something. So it's a good cushion to have in the balance sheet for any acquisition opportunity or anything that can come up. No, so why, you know, we are anyway being able to reduce the debt without that. So we do not envisage to use this money for that.
Okay, got it. Just one follow-up. You just mentioned about acquisition or anything. Is there any, historically you have talked about that you don't want to set up any plant overseas, or do you think in India, is there any reason or anything you may look to acquire because you have the largest capacity, there is no other company which is even closest to you. So what would be the thoughts on acquisition, if at all, if you plan to do at any point in time or point of time in future?
So, I mean, you've caught on to my word, but what I was trying to say, in key, see, we don't have any intent to set up a plant overseas right now. We don't have that in the near future. I was saying, in case an opportunity comes up, that's why we are, you know, keeping it. It's not that we are actively looking for an opportunity to acquire anybody or there is something in the marketplace. But you never know what can, you know, you always plan ahead and keep. So you're not running on that day when an opportunity comes up. So I think that is what is important. Don't go that, you know, don't look at it that we are looking at an opportunity or we are examining something. There is nothing actively there. I've said we are planning to keep as a backup in case that opportunity comes someday.
Got it. Many thanks. Thank you.
Also, in addition to, yes. Any there is one part is of acquisition or potential opportunity. The other is also in-house expansion that we do, large expansions. So, you know, we plan and keep for that part as well.
Correct. Makes sense. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Abhishek Jain from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, what is the current retail demand trend in European agriculture market and US OTR market?
So it's better than our wholesale sales currently in both the sectors. So that is a good sign for us.
And what is the normal inventory in first half of calendar year and how much it is higher than the normal?
It is higher than what they normally would have kept, but it is, as I said, it is reducing. So it is on a downward trajectory. So that is what why we feel that in the coming quarters we will be able to give you some guidance.
Okay. And how is the competitive intensity as other players like Alliance or Yokohama now is quite aggressive on the pricing terms? So, do you have any pricing pressure right now on your product?
No, we are pursuing our own strategy, so we are working behind that.
Okay, sir. And my last question on the CapEx you have done with the modernization of the plant. So, how much benefit will flow in the EBITDA in the coming days because of this?
So, we will see some improvements come in once the full volumes are back to, back in place.
Okay, sir. Thanks, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. We take the next question from the lineup. Yash Agarwal from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Just one question. How should we look at OPEX excluding freight as a percentage of revenue? In 3Q, it was at 16% and in 4Q, it was at 19%. Hello?
Can you hear?
Yes, we can hear you.
You will see some volatility. As I mentioned in my speech, it is because of the branding exercises that we are intensifying to further, reach to the end users and create users opportunity to get the brand name more popular to in the end user space.
Okay, so that answers my question. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the lineup, Lokesh Manik from Vellum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, Rajiv and team. My question was on the India business, if you can give some sense over the last few years, have the margins in the India business been any different from the export business?
So they're similar margins to export business.
Okay, and the raw material cost would also involve the inward rates, that is the import from China and from other countries. So raw material would be involved, inclusive of that, right?
Inclusive of that.
Yeah. That's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Basudeb Banerjee from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yes.
Yeah. So a few questions. One, as you mentioned, retails have been better than wholesale. Just to understand from a directional perspective, the quantum of destocking for you. Compared to last quarter, this quarter was similar, higher or lower, because seasonally Q4 is a better quarter, so retails could have been on an absolute basis better QOQ. So just to understand whether the increase in volume was more led by retails jumping up or lesser destocking, just to understand from that angle.
Mix of both.
And destocking compared to last quarter?
Yes. It's up there, no? Yes.
I mean, quantum was similar compared to last quarter?
So the destocking in the current quarter, because the sales has gone up a little bit, so the destocking amount may have come down marginally, but more or less it's the same quarter as last year.
Same quarter in Q3.
Yes, yes.
Second question, sir, if I look at your quarterly realization, which used to be roughly 260 rupees for a long time, and then with raw mat inflation and logistics cost inflation, it moved up to as high as 350 rupees. Now with the surcharge of container cost getting removed, it's down towards 320. So how to look at where one should look at as a steady state realization looking at your product mix?
Come down, difficult to give the numbers, what numbers will be, but slowly it will come down.
Come down towards 260 levels or?
Not that level. It may be 300 or somewhere near to that.
Sure. And third question is, sir, how much was your brand marketing expenses in FY23 versus FY22?
We don't have the numbers readily. We'll come back to you.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Raghu Nandan from Nuvama Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Good to see a sequential improvement in volume. My first question was on the demand side. The expectations that are coming out for agri production in
Europe. Sir, there is a lot of background noise. We can't hear your question very clearly.
Yeah. Is it better now, sir?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. So my first question was on the demand side. The expectations which are there for agri production in Europe and US indicate that production should be better in CY23 versus 22. Ideally, that should help the sentiments on agri side. So what are your expectations as how directionally the demand could improve on the replacement market side over the next few quarters?
It's too early to say, but we are expecting a better second half. As we mentioned earlier, that Europe will improve in the second half of this year. So we hope that will play out.
Got it, sir. And the destocking, which is likely to be completed or resolved by June, July, by then would the inventory level have reached around 2 months?
Yes, should do.
And my lastly, just a clarification, the capex of 600 crore for FY24, that would be total capex, right? Growth plus maintenance?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side. Wishing all the best.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Arvind Sharma from Citi. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir, and thank you for taking my question. So it's more on the capacity part. Right now at 360,000, what would your market share be? If it is at 5 to 6%, then going to 10% market share essentially requires a big increase in capacity, assuming the industry remains at similar level.
I mentioned earlier in my thing that, you know, in case of a big expansion which we need to plan, the money, that cash and cash equivalents are being kept for an opportunity to get that expansion going. So you're absolutely right that we will require a big expansion.
So any timeline for that 10% market share? Any rough timeline if you could share?
We are targeting 4 to 5 years.
All right. Thank you so much, sir. Thanks. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. We take a next question from the line of Save Shorab Guzar from ICICI Prudential AMC. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So first question is on the hedge rate. As you talked about forward hedge rate being currently at 88, for FY23 and 4Q, how much would be the average hedge rate and what proportion was hedged?
Q3? You are asking for Q3?
4Q. 4Q and entire FY23, what would be the average hedge rate, and going forward it would be 88, what you do?
Entire year it was 85.3, for the last quarter it was 86.5, and the for financial year 24 it is around 88-89.
And how much proportion? I understand we have a rolling forward hedge rate. So what proportion we would be hedging currently?
We are targeting 8 to 10 months. So 80% is already hedged up for 24, around 88-89.
Okay, thanks. And my second question would be on the branding. So we have been very proactive in advertisement, branding and all. So what would be the advertisement expenses for FY23 and as compared to FY22?
I don't have the exact breakup. We can get back to you later.
Yeah, sure. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Disha Sheth from Anvil Shares. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sir, when you mentioned that we...
Ma'am, please use the handset. We are not able to hear you.
Now, am I audible?
Yes, you are. Please go ahead.
Sir, you mentioned that we expect 200-300...
Sorry, your voice is muffled.
One minute. Hello.
Yeah.
Sir, you mentioned that we expect 200-300 basis point of margin improvement over the next year. So that would be in compared to FY23 or Q4 FY23.
Ma'am, your voice is muffled. Please speak louder.
Yeah. So you mentioned an improvement of margin around 200-300 basis points. So that is compared to Q4 FY23 or the full year FY23?
So it will be on the last quarter, 200-3% for whole of the year.
Whole of the year. Yes. Okay. Okay. And sir, when we mentioned the 10% market share, I'm just confirming our current market share is around 5%, correct?
5%, yeah, about approximately.
Okay. And sir, so how much capacity we would need addition and how much cash you need for the increase in over next 4 to 5 years?
We are working on that. I don't have the numbers right now. It's on the drawing board. We'll come back to them with announcement when we are ready.
Okay. And sir, just a last question. Current inventory days are how much?
Around 45 days.
45. So in June, July, you expect that to become 30 days?
We'd like to keep it at this level, around 40, 42 days maybe.
Okay, and historically also we have been around this level, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay sir, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by 1 on your touchtone phone now. We take the next question from the line of Ashutosh Tiwari from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Firstly, on this the next phase of capex or maybe capacity expansion that we'll do from beyond 360, can that be taken up at Bhuj, or there's no room over there, and we have to plan a greenfield only?
No. We have ample room there, so we can be take it up over there.
And how much capacity can be added in say Bhuj?
A substantial amount.
Okay. And generally, if you plan expansion today, how much time do you take for the plant to come up?
So brownfield can be done between 15 and 20 months.
Okay, between 20 months. Okay. And secondly, on the mining side, on the ultra-large tires, how is the progress? We entered the segment around 4-5 years back. So what kind of volumes are you doing over there right now?
I don't have the breakup of the volumes exactly, but we are getting a good response. Our tests have been conducted, results have been good, and now it's become a regular sales feature. So that is going on as a local regular product. So it's picking up well. All over the world, we've got good response for it.
But what is the capacity of the Delta Large tires?
Sorry, could you repeat the last question?
What is the capacity of this Ultra Large mining tire right now with us?
Around 5,000 tons for the whole annum.
That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Pragya Shah from Concept Invest Well. Please go ahead.
Ma'am,
I'm sorry to interrupt, ma'am. Yes, please use the handset and ask your question again. We're not able to hear you, Ms. Bhagya. We're still unable to hear you. As we are unable to hear the question from the participant, we take a next question from the line of Mumuksh Mandlesha from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much, sir, for again giving the opportunity. So what would be carbon black sales to third party in FY23?
Approximately 6%.
6% revenue for full year, right? And what would be this utilization of this carbon black plant in FY23, sir?
Sorry, what would be the?
A plant utilization for this carbon black?
85% to 90%.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone now. We take a next question from the lineup, Mayur Milak from Asian Market Securities. Thank you. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. So, you know, just trying to understand the European situation. So we believe there was some news that Chinese tires were supposed to come back, and then there is again this news that, you know, there would be some COVID situation in and around. So just wanted to understand what is the real situation in Europe. Are the Chinese competitors back, or we still get this advantage of using that market for a longer duration than what we had earlier anticipated?
As of now, we are not facing much of a competition from Chinese brands because the market size is, it's not a very big size of like a passenger car or truck bus. So that is why.
Right. And typically, what would be now the, you know, with all this correction in freight and everything, what would be a typical difference of the selling price difference between you and your closest Chinese counterparts?
We don't have their pricing because there's no fixed pricing for them, so it's difficult to give you an answer. And we always try and benchmark against the top quality European players, so that's where we are aiming to get to.
Right. So you know, just put it the other way around. So just trying to understand, the general understanding was, you know, the difference is about between 12% and 15%. So is it safe to assume that that would kind of continue even now?
Yes. I mean, if you see the branding exercises that we've been doing has got up from about a gap of about 40-odd% to gap of 15%. So it's a lot of effort and hard work done over the years. So we will like to maintain that.
Sure. Thank you, sir. That will be all.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the lineup, Sunil Shah from Turtle Star. Please go ahead. Mr. Shah, your line is unmuted. Please go and ask your question. Please unmute yourself from your device.
Yeah, sorry. I'm audible, I guess. Yes. My question is an extension of the previous question. Sir, the pricing differential that we have versus our European competition. So, you know, if I look at our company over the last many years, the prime advantage that we had was more on the labor cost advantage. That is, our labor cost was reasonably less than the global competition. Now with increased automation that we are doing in our company, power cost is certainly going to be one way cost, which is going to be a significant part going forward. Sir, so still to maintain that advantage, what are we doing on the power cost front so that, you know, our edge remains over our global competition? Meaning, historically, I believe just the labor advantage had given us a cost advantage of more than 20%. But with automation, power cost will be certainly a bigger factor. So are we doing anything on that power cost front to reduce and, you know, have an edge over the global competition? Because once we had an aspiration of 28% to 30% operating margin, and now, you know, we are in that 21% mark. And obviously due to many reasons that we know in the last few years. But on the labor, on the power front, if you could just let us know anything that we are doing there to gain some advantage.
So that is why this our carbon plant came, because it is our self-consumption as well as whatever the tail gases are produced, that we convert into the power. So it reduces the power cost.
Sir, so any differential in cost that we'll attain over a period of time in power itself? Percentage differential versus the global
self-consumption, but definitely we are saving huge cost.
Okay, and sir, you know, once upon a time we used to be a debt-free company. Now we are net debt of 1200 crores. So with just about 300 bips increase in our margin, when we regain that earlier, you know, stage of being a debt-free company, meaning we'll continue to have the debt in our books as well, as you mentioned.
As I was mentioning, that the gross debt will continue to go down, and that will have an impact. But we are working towards being a debt-free, net debt-free company. So hopefully we should be there in about 15 to 18 months, subject to no major expansion getting announced before that.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Chirag Maru from Keynote Capitals. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, as you said that our overall market share is about 5% approximately. Will it be possible for you to provide a bifurcation between how much market share we have in agriculture and OTR?
No. We don't. We can't give the bifurcation.
Okay. No worries. Second, I wanted to understand what is the strategy or initiatives towards increasing our market share in OTR tires at this moment?
So if you see, we've been constantly increasing the sales in the OTR segment, and the growths are coming in higher. So whatever we are doing, working towards, is now paying off in the marketplace. So that is what we have been working for the last 3 to 4 years, and you can see the numbers constantly increasing.
So are we doing any kind of R&D spend related to OTR at this moment as a percentage of sales?
Yeah, that is a part and parcel. So that goes on for all the product lines that we are in. It's not just for OTR, or earlier it was not just for agri. It is being done across the product basket that we make.
Okay. And the last one from my end. So I just wanted to understand if any of the international players creating a base in India and trying to become a bit competitive based on their employee expenses. If in case, is there any kind of an acquisition taking place or a big plant setup taking place which can create a competition issue for Balkrishna?
We can't comment on competition and what they plan to do.
Oh, okay, fair. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Pramod Amte from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. This is with regard to the domestic business. What is your current market share in the agri, and are you planning, what's the medium-term ambition on the market share the way they have for global? And second, do you plan to expand into any related sub-segments in automotive?
So in India, our market share would be about 3 to 3.5%. And apart from in related business, apart from carbon black, we do not envisage to at the moment to go in any other business.
And the second one is with regard to the margin expansion. So you are at around, if I'm not wrong, 280,000, 290,000 capacity production. Assuming this year is going to be a single-digit growth.
In my opening statement, I mentioned that we ended the year with 301,000 odd metric tons. So we are at, last year we clocked 301,181 metric tons.
Right. Now I was looking from a quarterly annualized basis, if I had to look at, because if I had to look at the margin guidance which you are talking about, expanding from the current level by another 300 basis points, right, from the 4Q.
Yes.
So if I had to look at in that context, you will be hitting your peak margins even at the lower utilization than the past. So you feel in this upcycle, you will scale a new high in operating margins without the carbon black itself?
Difficult to comment on now.
But your guidance looks to be heading in that direction.
That is what we are estimating, yes. We are guiding in that. Let's see how it plays out.
Okay. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Pragya Shah from Concept Investwell. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So my question is regarding the expansion products like rubber tracks and Gyolita. So can you give us a more view into like how is the market size or competitive density?
Sorry, your voice is muffled. I can't really hear what your question is. No, it's muffled. I mean, I can hear your voice, but I can't hear the words that you're saying. It's coming muffled.
Okay. My question is regarding your expansion into the markets with the product like rubber tracks and solid tires. So can you tell us about the market competitive?
Ma'am, I'm sorry to interrupt. Your audio is not very clear.
Okay.
As we are unable to hear the question from the participant, we move on with the call. Ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the end of the question and answer session, and I'd now like to hand the conference back over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mayur. Thank you to everybody for coming on this call, and we'll see you at the end of next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Asian Market Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.